The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome into Highway to Health. I am David Sears, and I am joined today by a very special guest, a man I met through Jim Butters on his show, Your House Inside Now. He went away from his usual house topics to talk to a spiritual guru, a man who gave me a very cool book. He sent it to me himself. I liked it so much, I sent it to a friend of mine. I am pleased to be joined by Bill Potler. He wrote the book, Awakening to Ourselves, The Practical Art of Building a Spiritually Aware Life. Bill, good evening to you. How are you doing, sir?
David, I'm doing great. That was quite an intro. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, your book was absolutely fascinating. I enjoyed reading it. And give us a quick little summary of what the book is about.
I'm going to take you off track for a second.
Bring it.
Because you used the word guru, right?
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate that. And I'm not positive. I don't think in my book anywhere I've called myself a guru.
You did not.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate that you honored enough to give me that title. But I want to talk about that for a second. There's really no such thing as the guru. Okay? We're all on a journey to find ourselves, okay? And that journey is long and arduous, and so we're all at different places, right? But there's no such thing as being the guru and you're better than somebody, or not even better than somebody, that you've reached some measure, some state that we can call enlightenment, because enlightenment is just the process of taking off your mask, your facades, your trauma, your false beliefs, and letting your light come through. And the more you take the falseness off, the more the light comes through and the more enlightened you become in wisdom and in, I don't know, physical body. So I just don't want people to think that I'm a guru. And, you know, these are all labels that we use for everything. Right?
They are.
So I think I'm going to stop now.
That's all right. No, I didn't want to offend you. I just... spiritual wise man, then. How about that, a wise man? Because you spread your wisdom. You cool with being a wise man?
That's fine. I don't really care what you call me. The labels don't matter. I just want to make sure that the public understands that we're here to follow ourselves. We are each our own guru. That's the truth. We are each our own guru. So.
All right. So now that we've established that, so what would you say your book is about to someone who's just trying to pick it up off the street?
Well, it's my journey. It's my 30-year spiritual journey, but it's not about my journey. I just weave my own personal stories in to give people examples of, how you can practically, it's the title of the book, Awakening to Ourselves, The Practical Art, I might get this wrong,
of building a spiritually aware life.
Of building a spiritually aware life. And so that's what it's about. It's it took me a long time to get to this kind of level of awareness. And I didn't want other people, I didn't want it to take them that long. And so Spirit told me, you know, and we could talk about what that means, but Spirit told me, write a book. And probably the most beautiful thing that came out of the book for me personally was it forced me to codify my belief system. Okay. And so, and that enabled me to start talking to people about my belief system.
And decodify is the 21 steps to spiritual awareness, or would you call them steps, or what would you call them? The 21.
awarenesses, I think is what I call them.
Okay.
Because I don't, the spiritual walk is steps, but they're not locked in order. Yeah, I would say that the 21 awakenings or whatever, those are pretty solid. You know, each of those points, I don't remember them right now. I wrote that a couple of years ago. I reread it about 3 or 4 months ago. And I go, oh, yeah, this is all really solid. You know, being alone. Okay, you got to, I guess we're not supposed to use curse words on here, are we?
You can use everything but the F word.
Oh, okay. That's the one I was going to use.
If you want to use it, I can bleep you in post.
Nah, that's okay. Anyway, I don't know where I was.
All right, so the 21 awakenings, they're not steps. They are more of guidelines.
Yeah.
And I loved how after each chapter, when you're going through the 21 awakenings, you have an activity that you have. This is an interactive book. This is not just a read and process. This is, what did I learn, and then apply it with the various tasks you give at the end of each chapter, which I absolutely found fascinating and loved how you came through this. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And this podcast is Highway to Health, and we try to address the different aspects of health. We've talked about physical health. We've talked about diet, talked about creativity, because creativity is definitely a way to help with your health. And now we're getting into spiritual. I intend on having other people from different religious and philosophic point of views come on, but you just so happen to be the first one that came on about this subject, because you tie into the importance of spirituality in life and being a spiritually aware person, and how we have messages. You say Yeshua instead of Jesus. You say Yeshua gives us messages, and we have to be basically having our cosmic radio tuned in to Yeshua to receive those messages. And there are various obstacles and interferences with the cosmic signals we get.
Yeah, I would say, though, I agree with all of that. And Yeshua, Jesus, right? Like you said, the word, I can't explain this tonight, but Christ and Yeshua, those are different words. Those are different energies. Yeshua was the man. Christ was the consciousness. And so there are a lot of consciousnesses out there, okay? But in my personal belief, I think Christ came into this world. I think he had multiple lifetimes. I think that his consciousness was given to him by the Holy Spirit, by God. And that consciousness was given to him to bring into this earth at a particular point in time to help raise the consciousness of all humans. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And then we built... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, agreeing. Yes, sir. I thought you were asking me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, okay. And then we built religions around it, and the religions, they kind of pointed the direction, but there was a lot of falsehood in all religions, because religions are supposed to point us to God, okay? But sometimes they point us to man, because they're made by man, right?
Yes, sir.
And we're all a little fallible. So I don't know why I went off on that, except for I believe that Christ consciousness is a beautiful and pure model to live in this world, but there are other consciousnesses out there.
and you came and you talk about your journey to the spiritual awakening. You started off as a Catholic, but you were looking for something more spiritually in depth than what you were getting in the Catholic Church. So what led you down that path of trying to become more spiritual, you get more spiritual depth than what you were getting from the Catholic Church?
I would say that in the beginning, it wasn't that I wasn't getting it from the Catholic Church. My real question was, as a young child, as a 6 or 7 year old boy, was, is God really real? And that question stayed with me for a long time. You know, and there are some very beautiful things I love about the Catholic Church. And I actually have a son that's a monk. But there are some limitations too. I didn't understand the limitations till maybe about, 7 to 10 years ago. And then when I realized them, I had to let go of them. And anytime you start letting go of stuff and your belief systems, because we all belong to groups or little tribes, I couldn't continue my Catholicism because I didn't believe in every single thing that they said. Mm-hmm. Although there's a lot of beautiful stuff in there. And they've done one of the best jobs in the world of honoring the saints and the holy people, which have laid laid pathways down for us. So,
now, when did you start this journey 30 years ago? What was the triggering point that started you on your spiritual awakening?
It had, you know, it was always in the background, you know? And so I just think that, you know, I came into the world to bring this practical spirituality to people. But I didn't know what it was at the time. And so there was this hum in the background of always wanting to understand a little bit more about God. And I was raising my kids Catholic. I was in a little, I was in Alabama. I had some good neighbors. They were all kind of Baptist and are fundamentalists per se. And that's not a negative term. I'm just trying to define. We have to use words, right? And I was going to their Bible study and they were like, Bill, you really need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I had studied Bible. I studied all type of stuff. And, you know, I'm like, y'all are crazy. But on my bike ride that night, I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And I was just, it was a little more dramatic than that. I was like, I looked up while I was riding my bike. And I said, dude, I said, if you need to come into my heart, you come on into my heart. You know, I think Jesus already was in my heart. But I got home from my bike ride and I started crying. And I cried for 2 days solid, literally 2 days solid. And it was this purging and, you know, Holy Spirit, Christ shed a bunch of false beliefs. I don't know what happened, you know, and that's when things got serious.
And you talk about seeing energy in your book where you were basically kind of at nirvana, where you're able to see the energy everyone is emanating and pulsating out from everything. You saw it in the trees and your friends and just, you saw it coming from everywhere. What did you experience when you saw that?
Well, that would have been, to give it a term, I didn't know what it was the first time I had one. It's called a Kundalini experience. Kind of a Indian, probably Hindu type of thing. You know, power comes up from your root chakra up your spine. I was sitting in a cafe having coffee with a spiritual friend of mine, a very good spiritual friend of mine. And this power just came up through me, made me just start shaking. And then I looked up and my hands were shaking. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I looked at my friend and she had fire coming out of her eyes. I could see it like a 2-inch fireball. And then I looked around the cafe and everybody had fire coming out of their eyes. And that's when I knew that the eyes are the windows to the soul. You've heard that?
Yes, sir.
That's when I knew that that was absolutely true.
And,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was about to say, and that kind of happened early on within like 2 or 3 years into your spiritual journey. And you've had it occur several times, correct?
Yeah. That one lasted for a little over 30 days. It was can't say the F word, exhausting. I didn't know what it was. I was only sleeping a couple hours a night. I had a ton of energy. I loved everybody, everything. My kids, my wife, my neighbor, the postman. You love everything. And everything looks perfect. Like it's all just unfolding perfectly. But it's exhausting. And then all my other experiences, there's probably been, I lose track a little bit. At first in the spiritual path, when you have a spiritual experience, you think, oh, I'm so effing cool, right? But then, but then spirit works on you some more, breaks your ego down. And you realize that they're gifts, they're given randomly, that you don't understand, at least in my case. I didn't ever ask for them. They just came. And in looking back at it, I didn't know this at the time, but looking back at it, I can look at them and go, oh, I kind of think I understand why that came into my life at that time. So anyway, so they're just a gift. Nothing to, you know, they're not an award or anything like that. It's whatever the universe needs to do to move you. And I'll say this real quick too. If you really, truly want to walk down the spiritual path, you have to make an intention to walk down the spiritual path. And if you do, and you pay attention, the spirit will, it'll be unleashed out of you. You'll unleash your spirit out of you. So
now we, as you say, live in a world that is trying to steal the light, trying to, or the darkness encroaches on it. What would you say to someone who says their spiritual health is not as important as you make it out to be?
Everybody gets choice. One of the reasons that this game on earth is fun is because it's free will. And God, if let's pretend that you were a creator and you could create anything, right? So if you wanted to create something that you could have fun with, that you could enjoy, then you'd create something that you gave free will to, that could go co-create, learn how to co-create, and then come back and sit at your table with you. Because you wouldn't invite a bunch of friends over to have dinner that you didn't enjoy and you didn't get along at some, I don't know, cosmic level or something. You wouldn't enjoy each other's company. And so, where was I going with all that?
Why someone needs to have spiritual life, spiritual health in their life.
And so they're going through the life that they need to go through now. Okay. And if some of my words fell on somebody and pulled them along down the road a little bit, that's super duper. But, you know, we all have lessons to learn too. The thing about coming into this earthly realm, this planet, we are in a low, I mean, think of the whole of everything as cosmic vibrations, okay? And it's all pulled together here. The darkness is the chaotic, formless energy, okay? That's what I would, if somebody was asking me to define God, it would be like his consciousness, and not he, she, it, whatever, pick something. The divine all the divine, whatever. I got to stay on target here. Where was I? David, tell me where I was.
That's right. You were talking about how darkness is a chaotic energy.
Yes, okay. It's a chaotic energy, okay? And light is just chaotic. I was saying that God was consciousness and chaotic energy. Chaotic energy is formless and powerful. When it's transmuted into light energy, what you're doing is you're taking the chaotic and forming it into something, form, F-O-R-M. I have a hard time with that word. So there's the formless and the form, okay? And if you want to really test, you really want to make your spirit sharp and smart, you come to a place like Earth, okay, where the density is very heavy, okay? And what we do here is we take the dark chaotic energy and we transmute it into something hopefully beautiful, okay? And anything that's beautiful is whole, okay? And whole means holiness. That's all holiness means. It just means that something is not even necessarily perfect, but it has a beautiful form, okay? Like an orange, okay? Mm-hmm. It's purposeful. So, okay, take me back on track. Why are we here? What
we're talking about taking
form and formless.
Yes, sir.
So we come to this heavy world because it's harder to take the darkness and form it. It takes more patience and persistence. Okay. And actually, Edgar Cayce says there are three dimensions on this earth: space, time, and patience, which I thought is fascinating. And I don't know if you know anything. You know anything about Edgar Cayce?
I do not. No, sir.
Okay. Born like 1887, like through 1945, at the age of like 25, he realized he had this, I think they call it a clairvoyant gift. Clair meaning clear and voyant. I don't know. Not speech, but.
Vision maybe?
Anyway. No, it's not vision. Hearing is clairaudience. Clairvoyant is maybe more like feeling, not quite, maybe close, thoughts, dreams and thoughts, I think. Anyway, he would lay down on a couch or on a bed, and somebody would have asked him, like, I'm not feeling good. There's something, my dad's got this, whatever. It started out with healing, but then he started going into people's past lives and things like that. But he would lay down in a trance, and his secretary would write all this stuff down. And he did over 14,000 readings for people. And he would loop into the Akashic records and see past life experiences and why this person had this ailment, maybe even from a past life. But okay, where was I going with all that? Edgar Cayce.
Formless out of the formless into form.
Formless into form.
We come to Earth.
Oh, the three dimensions. The three dimensions. So time, space, and patience. I thought that was fascinating. I started thinking about it. Okay. We know what time is. This life is a game, okay, at some level. It's got a timer. If it didn't have a timer, it wouldn't be any fun. Mm-hmm. If a poker game lasts forever, it doesn't make any sense, does it? It'd drive you crazy. So we understand time and space. You can look around you. If you look around, people don't think about this. But in this material world, if you look around, there's a lot more space than there is material. I'm talking about buildings, trees, rocks, houses, us. You start looking around, me and you, how much space are we separated by right now? A lot of space. So anyway. So we have space to move around, create, go create, whatever. So those are the two dimensions. But he says when we leave this realm, that those two dimensions fade away. And the only dimension that survives from this realm is patience. Okay? And patience, if and this is a key kind of to the spiritual walk. If you can... if you can embody patience, okay, and put peace and joy in your heart, and nobody can take your peace away, okay? You have to give your peace away. So if you can look at the interactions with people that you have, and when they're not peaceful, you got to look back and look at yourself and see what's being triggered here. And then with awareness, you got to let that go. So, peace, and what was the other thing I was going to tell you? This was important.
the patience dimension.
Patience dimension. Oh, when you can become patient and joyful in yourself. Okay. The patience allows you to watch the unfolding. And this whole thing is just unfolding. It's a, I mean, I've been sitting up in the mountains in Arkansas outside on the side porch and watching the wind and the birds talk. And then it gets dusk and they all go home just like we go home, right? Mm-hmm. And think about this too, about us being energetic and an organism. We're an organism. We're like a cell in this earth, okay? And I thought about this today and I thought it was very interesting. Kind of fascinated me. When we breathe air, we breathe some like 5 or 6 gases, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, a couple of things, right? And we use that to stay alive, right? We can't go more than like a couple, 2-3 minutes without air. And so think, where does air come from? Air comes from this planet. We're just like a cell. We're taking something in and releasing something back out. Those are elements. We're bringing elements in and then exhaling elements, okay? We're just doing a job down here. We just happen to have consciousness and have bodies and be able to move around. But that shows you how tightly we are tied. I mean, our breath is the earth that we're in. This is a big game, but it's also some beautiful biology.
That is something I've never thought of about. It is, we are a functional organism like a cell in a big organism, because the earth is living, breathing, because we see the ocean move and everything affects everything else. With the wind, like they say, a butterfly flapping its wings in Africa creates a hurricane in the Atlantic. And that's pretty cool. I hadn't thought about that way. So when you started writing this book, were you able to write it in order? Did it all come in order, or would you see a section on spirituality of this aspect and then bring it back, tie it in, say it leads to something else? Or were you just given a vision essentially and just wrote down everything, like someone doing a linear project?
I didn't channel it or anything like that, per se. I think all wisdom comes from the other side. And when you're tapped in, you know, you can soak that in a little bit. But it wasn't like, you know, the angels said it to me or anything, because there's a lot of channeling stuff goes on out there. But I wrote it in a fairly linear fashion because I think like that. Mm-hmm. And so the first half of the book is kind of like the basics of what you need to think of if you're trying to create a spiritual life. Like, one of them is important is that we're eternal spirits. Okay. Some people don't think we're eternal spirits, and that's okay. I think we are eternal spirits. Okay. We're in bodies for this lifetime, but we're eternal spirits. So if you take a stance of looking at yourself, and I've got my hand up in the air, as if you're eternal from, you know, 10,000 feet up, you're looking at yourself and you're an eternal spirit. We got a lot of living to do. Okay. And that's beautiful. But that's like one of my core concepts. And one of my core concepts is, at some level, you have to know that you're animated by the spirit of whatever. God, Allah, the great creator. Doesn't matter. Labels are just a name.
It's all okay? Right.
And so, like, those are two of my core concepts. And I go through a couple other ones in the beginning, or in the first half. Okay. And I weave some of my stories in just to kind of tie in the message. So it's not, because when my son read the book, and I don't know that any of my children have read my whole book, but my youngest son was reading some of my book, and he goes, "Dad," he's like, "this book feels like I just sat down on the couch with you with a fire, and you just started, you know, spewing stuff out." Not spewing stuff out, but just like we're just right there talking. That's how the book I wrote it.
It is very like conversational and very easy to read. You write it in a very informal tone, which makes it so easy to devour quickly to me. I read it within like 5 days, reading it, breaking up and meditating on different parts of it. And I loved your style. It's very conversational, matter of factly, very much a informal tone, which I think helps. You don't talk down to the reader. You try to bring the reader up to your level, which I think is a something that people that tend to do spiritual books tend to talk down, instead of bringing up the reader to their level.
You know, we're all in here to get certain lessons. We all don't get the same lessons because we come in with different personalities, right? And most people, remind me where I was going with this, most people come to this world, if they bring a belief in any of the astrological or signs, that we come in during, we come into the earth at a certain time, whatever energies of the planets are around us at that time and compared to where we are located on the earth kind of creates our personality. And I actually believe that. I believe that this is a whole kind of energetic system and that different planets have different energies. But I believe that we don't randomly come in. I believe that we come in at a very specific time, probably with a fairly specific soul family and in an environment that we think will move us forward in our spiritual path or whatever it is that we need to learn. I always talk about the spiritual path, but whatever it is that we need to learn. And so we pick the energies that give us the personality, okay, to get accomplished the story that we need to get accomplished while we're living in this realm.
And you talked about that recently. I subscribed to your newsletter after reading your book, and you talked about that recently. I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The Sage Life, is it .org or .com?
.org.
Sage Life, thesagelife.org. He sends out a weekly newsletter, generally about Wednesday or Thursday. And you talk about this past one, the soul plan, where our body comes into existence with a plan that our soul is kind of laid out before it, what it's connected to, why you're supposed to, why you choose certain things is because your soul wants you to choose those things, even though you're not aware of it just yet. Am I hitting it close to the head?
Yeah. I mean, your soul is you. Okay. And I could go down a soul thing. I don't know that everybody's ready for it yet.
Let's bring it, brother. We're bringing the heat. Let's bring it.
Okay. Well, think about this. Okay. Let's just call the divine God. Okay. God, the divine, inside the divine, okay, we're a individuation of God, okay? We're like a periscope out of God into a little experience here on earth. And we leave the light purposefully. We choose to come to this planet, okay? And so when we, in the light, we're ethereal, okay? We have access to wisdom, but we can't create like we can down here. So we leave the ethereal and we come into this planet and we line certain things up to maximize the whatever it is that we want to get accomplished. Okay. Might not be spirituality. Maybe it's radio. Okay. I don't know. It's whatever, because we all have different gifts, right? And when all the gifts are like a big symphony. They're notes. We're all notes. We're the universe. If you're reading my newsletter, the one verse, the one song. We are all together, the one song. So You maximize, you come in, but we have free will, and you can choose to interact with me, and I can choose to interact with you, or not, okay? So our energies are bouncing off of each other while we're here also. But we can create, well, I don't know how it's going to end that. Give me one more sentence or a couple more words. I don't remember how it's going to end that.
You were talking about how the soul in the ethereal world has access to visions, but they can't create it till they come to the physical world.
Right, exactly. But the soul is capable of holding multiple perspectives at one time. So we would call it living multiple lives at one time. You actually might be another person, another human on this earth, or you may be something else somewhere all at the same time, having multiple lessons and all that coagulating back into one soul.
Kind of like the Everywhere, Everything, All at Once movie where she was doing multiple worlds, where she's living multiple lives going on at the same time, and she'd have to jump between them. Yeah, okay. That's cool. Yeah,
that's exactly it. That's why I love that movie. I love that movie. And you know, I mean, we're both basically from Birmingham, pretty close. Both the guys that either wrote and or directed that movie were from Birmingham.
Yes. That was really cool. All right. One last point I want to get to before we wrap things up, because I promised you to get you out of here in 45 minutes. In your book, you break down words really well.
Yeah.
And about you make them make sense. And how a diseased body is a body that is at dis-ease.
Ease. Yeah.
When you see that type of stuff, how does it come to you that you understand that a body that is struggling, that is hurting, is diseased, but it's not a diseased body, it's a body at dis-ease?
Yeah. Oh, you want to tie this back into health?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So your body always tells you what it needs as far as health, right? If your blood pressure is going up, you know something's out of balance. If your sugar's too high, you know something's out of balance. Okay, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought.
Again. We're explaining where you got the idea for dis-ease and the body and the body being at dis-ease.
Yeah, so we're not at ease, okay? When we're whole, when we're holy, okay, we're at ease, okay? Now, so that's just one. So we're at dis-ease, okay? In some way, we've done something that we're not at ease with ourselves, I guess, okay? So that's one. Two is two? Damn, my memory is, I've been shooting videos all day long, and all the spiritual stuff's running through my head, and I'm like, whoa.
You're wiped out. You've been doing this all day. I get that, brother.
Yeah.
So.
Just other words. Mm-hmm. Vacate. Or vacation means to vacate. Okay? Think about that. We go on vacation because we're vacating. We need to get into a new, clean space, right? You go on a retreat. What is a retreat? A retreat is, if you're in war, when you retreat, you come back, right? Mm-hmm. Coming back to yourself. And the word treat is also something that's nice that you would give somebody. If you're retreating, you are giving yourself a treat, okay? universe, one verse. University, what's a university? A place to go get knowledge. Actually, not to get knowledge, difference. Between knowledge and wisdom, but to get wisdom about the universe, a university, okay? I could go on. Recreation, recreate, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I'll also tell you, this is not one of those, but humble. What humble means, humble is power under control. Okay. evil. Evil spelled backwards is live. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what evil is. Evil is the antithesis of live. So every decision you make, you're either trying to give life or you're giving the antithesis of life. And the antithesis of life is evil. Okay? That's what we call it. Okay? I think I'm done unless you got something else.
No, that's good. All right. So your book, Awakening to Ourselves, The Practical Art of Building a Spiritually Aware Life, it's available on Amazon. You can get it as a Kindle book, or you can get it as a physical book if you're a physical reader or Kindle reader. Your website, thesagelife.org,
Actually, right now, you better say awakeningtoourselves.com.
Okay.
Which is my book.
All right. Awakeningtoourselves.com is the website that we can go to get subscribed to his newsletter. Like I said, it's a great newsletter. He sends it out once a week, so you're not going to get your inbox spammed every single day with stuff. It's his musings for the week. It's deep knowledge and thoughtful knowledge that'll make you think. He shares from his cup, as he likes to talk about. Do you have any words of wisdom to leave us with before we head out, Mr. Poulter? Poulter, sorry.
That's okay. It's all good. So I know we're not on video, so this is audio. But the sign from Costa Rica where you put your pinky finger out and your thumb out and your three fingers are in like your palm and you shake it back and forth. And I've never been to Costa Rica, but my son and daughter-in-law brought this back to me and it's just stuck with me, is Pura Vida. That sign is Pura Vida. And Pura means pure and Vida means life. So I always give these people, I'm running by somebody, I always give them a little Pura Vida sign and wish people pure life, okay? The other thing that I like to say, and I like to end with this, and that is the word namaste. People in the spiritual world throw the word namaste around, and a lot of people know what it means, but a lot of people really don't. I think it's just like, hey, thank you, nice to see you, whatever. But the word namaste means the divine in me honors the divine in you. Okay. And so whenever we say namaste to each other, to all our listeners, we're just honoring both of our divinities as part of the same organism that is trying to act in holiness so that we can, so we know how to change the dark energy into love.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
So, David, namaste. May the divine in me honor the divine in you, sir.
Thank you, and namaste to you, Mr. Bill. This has been Highway to Health. I'm David Sears. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you so very, very much to our guest, Bill Poulter, for joining us and sharing his wisdom and insight with us. Again, you can find his book, Awakening to Ourselves, The Practical Art of Building a Spiritually Aware Life, on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Great book. We will be back next week. Until next week, live a healthy life.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.